My great-grandfather is the first figure to emerge from the mists, though he is misty enough. He served in the British infantry, always spoke of the Russians and the Prussians, and swore that the Duke of Wellington, in iron old age, had spoken to him. He also swore that he was the one who, working backstage at the Free Trade Hall when Charles Dickens was giving one of his readings, told the great man that he could have been an ornament to the profession, meaning Manchester melodrama. He ended up with one of those pungent herb shops that no longer exist. My father and his brothers would drop in on their way home from school and say, "Please, Grandad, can we have a drink of water?" They were then given draughts of sarsaparilla or dandelion and burdock or even steel wine. There used to be a quip in the Manchester music halls. "I've got red blood in my vein, I have." "And what do you think I've got, dandelion and burdock?" That would make no sense today. My grandfather, Jack Wilson, kept a pub in northeast Manchester called the Derby Inn. There was a nominal irony in his being a Catholic landlord. He followed tradition in having an Irish wife, Mary Ann Finnegan, from Tipperary. He had a large appetite for traditional Lancashire dishes, hot pots, steak and cowheel pie, Eccles cakes, black puddings. He was pointed at in the street as a man who could eat a tater pie as big as his yed. I was brought up on the same diet, though I've always found black puddings, which are balls of fat and blood polished with oil, far too rich for a naturally weak stomach. I have, in the long voyage from childhood to a kind of retirement in the Catholic Principality of Monaco, sort of homing, really, tackled most of the cuisines of the world, but as Lin Yu Tang said, we are finally loyal to the food of our youth, and this is perhaps what patriotism means. In exile, I can cook dishes like hot pot, meat and potato pie, steak pie with cow heel. A Bolton speciality, as Jeanne Moreau, who has Bolton blood, reminded me. I cannot get Eccles cakes, nor the pork sausages sold by Seymour Meads on Princess Road, Manchester. But I go on missing them. Graham Greene, exiled in Antibes, feels as I do about the British pork sausage, which the French scorn as a mere ungarlicky boudin. Fish and chips are everywhere now, but they're essentially a Lancashire matter, not even a national one. There are none like those that came out of the huge, square, seething vats of the Manchester chip shops. Lancashire used to be famous for shops which provided an instant meal to take home. Meat pies with gravy poured in hot from a jug, tripe and cow heels, above all, fish and chips. Lancashire housewives worked in the cotton mills, where their delicate fingers were preferred to the clumsier and more expensive digits of men. They had no time to cook, except on Sundays, the great day of the roast with potatoes under, rice pudding with a brown skin on, rhubarb and custard. The shops stood in for them. My grandfather ate what Mary Ann Wilson from Tipperary cooked, and she cooked in the Lancashire way, which is not fundamentally too different from the Irish. Drisheens and crobbeens are black puddings and trotters in disguise. He drank tea, not tea, of a strength sustained in the family, and very much by this sundered particle of it. He spoke a modish rural dialect, one suitable for the outskirts of a great city. I inherited the accent, if not the vocabulary, and had to work hard to lose it. It was not taken seriously outside Lancashire. London saw it or heard it as a willful and comic deformation of received standard, suitable for George Formby Senior or Junior, but to be despised as a medium for serious intercourse.